This is the South Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your South Storage business. Your host, Scott Myers, over the past 18 years has acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated nearly 5 million square feet of South Storage nationwide. With the help of his incredible team at SouthStorageInvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in South Storage.
So next up, we have Mr. Rick Gibson, who operates out of, well, you could say Missouri, but also parts of Florida and other places in between where there's golf courses and horse racing tracks as well. So I'm thankful for Rick, and for many reasons. He is, first of all, he puts his trust in us in many areas, not only in the mastermind, but then also as a partner in investing and also as a passive investor as well. And we've had a lot of conversations about the business, about life. Now that he is retired, semi-retired, slowing down now and just looking back on perspective, he and I did a podcast together yesterday and just looking back on that. Legacy, what that means, impact, significance, legacy, as we discussed, and what it means to have a plan put in place, or even sometimes the way that things work out, even without having a plan, but ending up in a place where that's pretty cool that he never would have expected. So being in business with those around you that you love is a blessing, and having the ability to do the things that his wife has always wanted to do that he could provide for him is a pretty cool place to be. So I'm thankful for Rick for the model and the lessons that he teaches us, and then he's going to share just a little bit more about that in this session as well. So if you haven't spent time with Mr. Rick Gibson, you should grab him for a break, grab him at lunch as well, and there's a lot to learn from folks that are on the other side of a portion of their career and has lived an incredible life like he has, and done an incredible job with his family. So with that, a warm mastermind welcome to Mr. Rick Gibson.
Thank you. I feel compelled to start this off by commenting on Rod's shameless plea for votes. And for those that have been around a while, you'll remember that Kristen first did her presentation with Rod, brought him in as the eye candy, and they failed miserably in the vote. Kristen dropped Rod, went with Tim, and they win. So what's the difference? Enough. Anyway, and I may need one of your storage units to live in the first Saturday in May, because I got a horse that's going to be on a derby trail. So, okay. Anyway, so you know some people. All right. So my name is Rick Gibson. I know there's a lot of new people, new guests here on that. I am in business with my sons, Dan and Nick. This is us at a LLC members meeting at the St. Louis City soccer game. And one of our storage facilities is paying for these tickets. So it's nice, nice business to be in. We currently own 10 mobile home parks, about 80 single family rentals. Mobile home parks and the rentals are all in the St. Louis area. 9 storage facilities where we are the majority owner. 1 we're a minority owner, so 10 we're involved in. 1,900 units, about 200,000 square foot, thereabouts on that. I'm going to, 2 years ago, just over 2 years, or under 2 years ago, we were very, very fortunate. We were in the right place at the right time, and a real estate investment trust, a REIT, bought 11 of our mobile home parks, paid a 4.3 cap for them. They approached us in that. And because of that, it has certainly changed our lives. It changed our lives for, you know, much better. We were able to invest in a lot of projects, a lot of the members here projects, some of that have been mentioned over the course of the day. And there's a reason why, you know, we've chosen to invest in this group. You get to know people, you learn about them, you trust them. And when we were building our mobile home park group, we had investors, we had small syndicates. I was more worried about my investors' money than I was about my own. And I know that's how the people in this room feel. We partnered with Kim on a build in Ohio. And, you know, Tim would call, you know, we're trying to get the dirt work done. Rick, you wouldn't believe the rain we're getting in Ohio. I didn't wonder if he was finishing a project. I trusted Tim. He was there. He was on site. He's our partner. And because I've gotten to know him in here. So, you know, for you, those of you who are here for the first time, the contacts and the relationships that you make in this mastermind are really, really priceless, Annette. I'm a retired attorney. Last mastermind, Tatiana mentioned that at some point she would hope to be a retired attorney and had an experience, as you can imagine, you know, just like passing any milestone in a career, when we pass the bar exam, that's a huge deal. You know, it's a sense of relief. It's a sense of accomplishment. I wasn't expecting that feeling when I was able to let the state of Missouri and the state of Illinois know I didn't need your license anymore. And that. So they offered to let me keep it for doing 10 hours of continuing education and $400 a year. And I said, I don't need your license no more. So that. However, because of being a retired attorney, my give number one is I want you guys to take advantage of my legal experience. I still work in the real estate business a little, honestly, 4 to 6 hours a week. Because of that sale, we were able to buy a house in Florida in a community with golf courses and pickleball and do some stuff. So I got time. I got time. And that I've talked to a number of people in this room, sometimes about their parents, where their parents are aging and, you know, they're downsizing, about how are we going to pay for long-term care, you know, stuff like that. I've been involved in some syndications. I've actually done the paperwork on 6 for ourselves, and, you know, been involved in others and see this. So, you know, just if you want to talk through a deal structure, we've had some creative financing deals, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So if you want to talk about, you know, estate planning, or if you want to talk about deal structure or questions on syndication, if I don't know the answer, I probably know where I can send you, like this group, you know. But in those areas, in my practice, I did trial work for about 25 years, but most people would call estate planning the last 12, 13, you know, in that, and the real estate kind of always did that all the way through. In estate planning, your needs change as you age. You know, I know there's a number of people in here with young children and that, you know, and there's certain things that you need to do there. Then there's some of us older folks. You know, I'm glad every time Wendell shows up because I don't run for the title of the oldest person in the room. You know, no offense, sir. and that, but take advantage of that experience. Now, if you call, I may, you know, every afternoon I decide, tomorrow, am I playing pickleball? Am I going to walk or am I playing golf? Maybe I'm going to do both. And I tell you what, guys, what a great feeling. But you don't know how many of you young people I am jealous of. I am totally jealous of. At 24 years of age, Nick was telling us what he's accomplished already yesterday. You know, at 24 years of age, my big week or big month would have been when Notre Dame beat Michigan and Michigan State in football in the same month. Scott. You know, that. But what you guys have accomplished, you know, Fernando, you know, what he's done with Steven, you know, James is on climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, Alex and Sammy, what you guys are accomplishing. I'm just jealous where you guys are right now, you know, and that, and it's neat to be part of. It really is, on that. So at the bottom, it says, I got plenty of time to talk, you know, and that. So if I can help, you know, please feel free to call me. So give number two.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir.
I want to go past that. Could you back up?
Yep.
Hey, guys, take advantage of this. You may think you're not at the place where you need it. I'm telling you, you are. If you haven't thought about any of this, from wills, estate planning, insurance, anything else, there's a whole lot that goes into this. And we can talk about all the reasons why. And I'm just telling you, you need to. If you haven't thought about it, if you haven't sat down, or even if it's been 2 or 3 years, things have changed and you need to revisit. Your assets have changed. There may be somebody else in your life or multiple people in your life since then. And you got a guy here that's got experience in this. And you got a guy here that's not trying to steer you into something because he gets paid commission for it. This is a huge give, gang. So I commend you for that. And I would recommend any of you take him up on this offer. And Rick, let's just give him a round of applause. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So give number two, we still operate our, real estate business. I told you what we had. We have two very good day-to-day property managers. My youngest son, Nick, bears the largest burden on the managing the managers and the day-to-day stuff, you know, the looking at the reports and that. Catherine asked me if I've seen any of the reports on any of our storage facilities. I've never seen one. That's my kryptonite, you know, looking at that stuff. And that my older son, Dan, is involved in the finance, dealing with the banks, the taxes and stuff like that. But what he did, you know, they both realize they're too young to retire, even though they could after that sale. So he took a job with Abernathy Holdings. And anybody who was at Scottsdale last year when we were at Talking Stick, Andrew Abernathy was there, 30 years old. Amazing story already. He wants to be the second billionaire from North Dakota. The first one is a guy named Gary Hallerson, who's written a book. What Gary did is he vertically integrated a hotel construction company, and he would go find land on interstates where in the path of growth, and he would get it entitled. Then he would start the construction process. And a lot of those hotels, like Comfort Inns and Holiday Inn Selects, they're three-story rectangles. And he would start the construction project, then he would put it out to the market. Who wants a hotel here? And then he would finish it there. But by owning the construction company, owning the equipment rental company, owning the asphalt company, owning these things you need, they could build them 15 to 18% cheaper for that. And, you know, became a billionaire doing it. And that's what Andrew wants to do with high-class, Class A storage in the LA market, San Diego market, Phoenix market, and Dallas market because of their demographics and that. So they're going to be able to pay more for land in that. Well, as part of their group, they've gotten a deal with Janus. I guess Janus bought this DBCI door manufacturer and that. So if you're in a process where you're doing a build and you need doors, and it's almost like a co-op situation, they can make the referral, you know, but Dan can give you the information as to, you know, who you need to talk to, where you need to go, you know, for the discount. And, you know, if they get enough volume through the whole thing, then, you know, they're going to be able to keep that discount. And that's something that we can pass on to you guys. So Dan's contact information is there, but you can always get him from me. He's not at these masterminds very often because he has three kids under seven. So those of you with little kids understand what that is. In there, but that's an opportunity. They don't really do one off or if you need to replace four or five doors, but I think they said 25 or 30 doors, you know, they could do. So, okay. And then give number three, and that was the primary purpose, is this book here, Die with Zero. Now, I know there are people who have their children with them, and that, this doesn't sound good, does it? Rebecca, Jake, die with zero. No, Dad. No, that's not the plan. Somebody recommended the book to me, and I wish I knew who it was. So we have the house in Florida. We have the house outside the St. Louis area. I like to drive. I like to drive because I can get up when I want, usually, dark 30, get on the road, drive for 2 hours, stop at Waffle House. Love Waffle House. Then I drive further and go to a Buc-ee's, you know, pour mine 5 hours. If you've never been to a Buc-ee's, make a point to go. I'd say stop for 15 minutes, and that it's absolutely impossible to go through a Buc-ee's in 15, stop at a Buc-ee's in 15 minutes. My wife is not an early morning person. She's not a big fan of driving, and I love to listen to books on tape. And that I listened to this book on one of my drives that'll last 3 or 4 months. Started listening to it again to finish my drive and got about halfway through, then bought the book because there's some charts and graphs in here that are real helpful. Annette, The author is a guy named Bill Perkins. Bill graduated college as an engineer, realized quickly he did not want to spend his career working on some kind of switch or transistor or something for one of the big defense contractors, or something. So he started as a job as a runner for investment banking in New York, making $16,000 in New York in the early 80s. He has since has had two or three different oil and gas energy hedge funds that he has managed. He's a billionaire. He's a professional poker player. He has been in the World Series of Poker. He has won some tournaments. He's won some serious money. He's also been a producer and of some films, and I recognize the names. I can't say I saw anything. And he's an author. But what he talks about in the book, early in the book, is he had gotten a raise to $18,000. So him and another runner shared a 600-square-foot apartment, efficiency apartment in New York City. They had to buy bus or subway passes because they didn't have enough money to pay the subway each day, so they bought the pass, monthly pass, and they had to watch expenses. They hung a shower curtain between their beds so they'd have some degree of privacy, and they were making nothing. So his roommate decides he's going to go backpacking in Europe while he's still young. So he borrows $10,000, the roommate, not Bill, from a loan shark in New York. Kind of a risky investment. And Bill wouldn't do it. Too conservative, in that. His roommate goes for 3 months and backpacks around Europe, has all these great experiences. Some of them are discussed in there. This was 40 years ago. That roommate still talks to Bill about those memories. So Bill didn't, because he's a little too conservative. So he tells his manager, oh yeah, so-and-so just was backpacking in Europe. And he goes, why didn't you go? He goes, I didn't want to borrow the money. He goes, you idiot. You're not going to be making $18,000 the rest of your life. You're going to be making millions in a few years. You got to take these opportunities when they come, because you're not always going to. He said, when I finally felt like I could do it, I was in my early 30s. He goes, and it's not the same. You can't stay at youth hostels. You can at in your 30s, but now you feel like a creeper, I would imagine, on there. But he talks about passing up on that experience as one of his biggest life regrets. And that his roommate took the chance, did it, and you live off the memories, and that. So I recommend this book because it talks about the balancing of your life goals and experiences with long-term care planning. Plan for your kids, plan, be able to take care of yourself the rest of your life. It's ideal for entrepreneurs, for the people in this room. Scott sets up this mastermind with these experiences, like this NASCAR experience, and you see the picture of the people on the ropes course, the Baja experience that he talked about, the shark diving, all of these things. Life gets in the way and you don't plan on that, and here we belong to a group and those plans are made for us. Just have to give them a credit card number. That's great on that. So the book itself goes through, and he calls them 9 rules, on how to do this philosophy, and that. For instance, he's not saying don't cut your kids out of your will. He's not saying that. But he says, if you have $1 million in the bank when you die, that's $1 million worth of experiences you could have had doing whatever you like. On that. He gives the example of the kids on that. The average age of inheritance in the United States today is 63 years of age. That's how old I am. I don't need the money now. You guys, when you're 63, well, Wendell, again, sorry. When you were 60, you are in 62? I am the oldest? Oh, I'm so disappointed. Okay. So the average age, I didn't plan for that one. The average The average age is 63. Your kids don't need their money when they're 63, especially for the people in this room, because your kids are going to see your example. They're going to be the entrepreneurs that you are with your work ethic and things. Your kids may need that money when they're 26 or 28, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 to buy their first house. They don't need $500,000 when they're 63. You know, if they do, there might be other problems, you know. But the point is that your kids need the money earlier. You know, charities. We all have certain charities that mean something to us, you know, in that. And in those charities always need money, you know. And it's good to, you know, to help them. But, you know, those charities need money all the way through your life. You know, they budget. I've been on the board of charities. And, you know, you get a donor who is $1,000 or $2,000 a year, they're worth their weight in gold, you know. And it is nice when you get the bequest at the end when they die, and maybe six figures. You know, that's fantastic. But these charities need money all the time. So he says, don't ignore that stuff. But he talks about in these nine rules, ways to deal with that, ways to look at that, maybe a little differently. So, you know, he says, talk about you want to accumulate enough money for your family. Make sure you're taken care of, your spouse or your partner's taken care of, you know, when you die, for the charities, for their long-term care needs. You know, that's the scary one. When I did my estate planning, I called it long-term care estate planning. Everybody knows what a will does or trust. This is what you want to do with your stuff when you die. That's easy. What are you going to do if you live, especially if you live for an extended period of time with something like dementia or your spouse has dementia? You know, how's that going to be paid for? And that, and there's, he talks about ways to deal with that and think about that and plan for that. But do not accumulate wealth over family and friends. You know, when we die, we're going to be talking about the experiences that we had. You know, in my case, played this golf course, or this horse won this race, or did, you know, we went to this place, you know, and that, we're not going to talk about, man, we just missed out on that deal in Tallahassee. Can you imagine how much, you know, we'd have been richer? You're not going to talk about that. You're going to talk about the experiences with those people who are going to show up, you know, when you're reaching the end of your line. So don't accumulate the wealth over the opportunity to have those experiences with your family and your friends. You know, we were talking last night about stopping at historical sites, you know, in Gettysburg. You know, we went there as a family vacation. My dad turned 70, and we offered him, Dad, where do you want to go? We gave him a list of 10 places. He looked at it, and he goes, can I pick something not on the list? And he picked Gettysburg. He's a history buff, had never been there. He was turning 70. Now, my wife and my brother Mike's wife and my brother Jeff's wife absolutely hated it, you know, in that. But they were with nieces and nephews. We did a family vacation, and it was one of my dad's favorite memories, you know, to do that. And it, don't accumulate over experiences. So, you know, the themes of the book are, I touched on this. If you die with $1 million in a bank, you know, it's $1 million of experiences you left out. Don't wait too long. And this group is good about this. You know, when you pass up things like Bill Perkins passed up, you know, backpacking in Europe, you know, in his 20s, you know, we have time buckets. And when you're in your 30s and 40s, you can do things that you can't do when you're in your 60s and 70s, in that physically, you know, might be, you know, in that. So he says, don't wait too long to take these experiences because the other opportunity may not come. Things like homes and cars and toys. Again, you know, when you get to the end, the last few months, you don't remember the homes you had or the cars you had. You probably couldn't name all the cars you've owned through your life, you know, and that. They're not valuable. They're not valuable like the experiences. And when you have these experiences, those memories pay dividends the rest of your life. I mean, how many of you have gone to a high school reunion or college reunion and start talking about, hey, remember when we did this, you know? I just had a 45th high school reunion. One of my buddies, we went to college together, and we went to a rodeo in Fort Madison, Iowa. Jeannie C. Riley, Wendell, me and her, and maybe Gary knows of Jeannie C. Riley, was the headliner. And one of our buddies, roommates, walked out to shake Jeannie C. Riley's hand while she was singing in the intermission of the rodeo. That came up, you know, from 45 years ago. And don't forget accumulating and forget to live your life. And that's the message of the book. Let me get back. Getting back to experiences. So to give you an example of the memories, you guys have heard about the shark diving experience. And that has come up multiple. We did that a year and a half ago or so, but it's come up in multiple masterminds where they'll talk about that. And I didn't do it. Tim didn't do it. We decided to go play golf. We were thinking you're going to get into a cage and, you know, watch sharks swim around you. When we found out it wasn't a cage, we decided to, worst thing that happened, to get hit by a golf ball, you know. And this company touted its safety record. You know, nobody had ever been bitten and all this other stuff because you're jumping in with the sharks. And I was thinking, you know, Siegfried and Roy had a pretty good run in this town with those white tigers until that last time, you know, and that. But Dan Dew is my accountability partner, and we talk every week. And he just brought up August is Shark Week on TV. You've probably seen the advertisements and fart. And he talks about, yeah, remember, you know, that when that mastermind, we went diving for sharks, and Gary was getting all nervous, and he's splashing all around, and I had to jump in my Speedo and my mask with just my Boy Scout penknife, you know, to save Gary. And I said, yeah, that's what I heard. You know, that's how he described it. You know, but then Gary talks about how, oh, and it was from a 6 foot, he saved him from a 6 foot tiger shark. Well, then Gary talks about the experience. He had to save Catherine, you know, on the same expedition from an 8 foot hammerhead shark, you know, and you can't replace those memories, you know, and that. And then one of our masterminds, we went deep sea fishing. Now that fish is not as big as it looks because I'm holding it way out like that. But I guarantee you, when my grandkids get older, that thing's going to be a 700-pound marlin on that. And those are the kind of memory dividends that these things pay. So, and that's the point of the book. So may I ask, one of our facilities, we have an extra acre and a half. It's already fenced, it's flat. We are going to put boat and RV storage with doors completely enclosed. And we're going to do the original plan was 7,000 square foot, 10, 14 by 50 units. Well, we're going to do another 7,000 or 8,000 foot pad for smaller boats, smaller RVs. And so our ask is, does anybody have experience with a good unit mix? The one pad's going to have the 10, 14 by 50 units. We know that. Anybody have any recommendations on what the next pad should be? Because we've got plenty of room to do two pads, to do two builds, you know, in that. So if anybody has any thoughts and any recommendations, you know, please let me know. Gary, you want to go first? Or?
Let me go first since I've got the microphone. You've got enclosed boat, RV, contractor garages. You've got three separate markets there.
Okay.
So what truly is your market? Is your market big RVs, or is it contractors, or is it boats? Because those are really, really big units for most boats. So if you're in a lake area and you're going to have boats, you may be offering a lot bigger unit than people are willing to pay for.
And then that is exactly what we were thinking, and that's why we decided to go with the second pad. That's those 14 by 50 units are going to be for the big Class A, you know, million-dollar RVs. There is nothing like that within 20 miles of this. And so, but we also had the back, well, you know, some contractor wanted that, you know, somebody might come along and want that size unit, you know, and they could pay the price, but it's primarily going to be for the Class A big motor homes, because I know we don't need 14 by 50 for, you know, a 20 foot, you know, runabout, you know, and that, but that was what we were looking for, was what kind of mix for smaller units, you know, for the other pad.
So I would look at doing something like 12 by 35 units as your other option.
Okay.
Because you're going to fit most boats in there. You're going to fit a lot of the smaller RVs. Not everybody has the executive class motor coach.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in that 35 to 40 range, make them a little narrower, give people the options. So my penny and a half.
How about doors on both sides so they can pull through?
They call them drive-through units.
Yeah.
For contractors.
Takes an awful lot of real estate.
We have it.
You're eating up an awful lot of it, though. Well, who's to say you couldn't use that to put more units up, though?
Okay.
I mean, do you want to eat that up with, you know, offering a higher class unit to 20 tenants, or do you want to have 30 or 40 tenants? Okay. So it's that balance of real estate. What's the highest and best use for that real estate? Is it driveway, or is it more units?
Okay.
Well, if there's only 10 units, there's not a lot of room to move. But 14 by 40s will certainly take a nice Class A motorhome.
Okay.
So you can consider 14 by 40s for boats and smaller RVs, third wheels. You can consider 13 by 25s, even as low as 12 by 20s. But if you want to make sure you get my number, my card, and I'll give you the unit mix that we put together
for your California project.
Yeah,
perfect. Thank you.
And the 40 by 50s are great, but those are the top of the line.
Right.
Not everybody's going to need that. And if I've got a 14 by 30, or you know, a 30 foot long, that you know, I'm hoping to get a 12 by 30. And the only thing available is a 14 by 50 space, you're going to want to be charging your number 14 by 50.
Literally.
Maybe a little too much.
Literally, in our county, there is not one unit big enough for a Class A completely covered with a door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that you have
so a 20. You've driven around and you've noticed the Class A motorhomes that are parked outside, uncovered.
Yep.
I'm familiar with that. That's a real common thing.
Yep.
Okay. Concrete, asphalt?
For the probably concrete pads and then asphalt back there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
One thing to consider, too, on the 14-foot wide unit, what we've been seeing a lot of people request are having access doors, like man doors, into that, especially for the contractors, so they don't have to open the full door, depending if it is... condition, that could also be a factor. Is condition, you want to open a smaller door versus larger. So I would consider looking at that width and what you're really marketing it for, because I think adding a door, a lot of those cases helps out with access and
heat. Perfectly. Okay, thank you. Yeah, Mike?
In my research for the one that we were working on, the 14 by 45s, in agreement with that, their 14 by 40s were more than adequate for the larger units.
Okay.
I looked, we're on a bay, we got a lot of boats. Our initial stuff was showing we could come down to anywhere from a 12 by 12 or 13 by 20 up to a 12 or 13 by 30 for some of those, which also fits in some of your smaller, all of them have the higher doors, but that was a lot of my research for that. And we were from a 12, 20 to a 30.
Okay.
For your boats and things. And I've got a mixed breakdown of what we're doing. I can email
right
to you of what I've got, because we've got 75 in our initial plans of a mixture. The other thing, the other thing with those was the access that we even looked into for the motorhomes and stuff was a possible dump station, because for the motorhomes, and a paid for extra income water washing bin for boats coming out of the water,
uh-huh,
or things like that. Something you may, I don't know what you've got in your area, may work, but yep, those were some of our initial researches.
Perfect. Thank you.
Rick, primarily 12 by 35 is our most popular size.
12 by 35.
Yeah. Okay. We've got hundreds of them. So just from an experience standpoint, that's it. But we do have the larger units. Now, ours are open. I don't know. And you're talking about the pull through. I mean, I guess if you had a shared driveway, I wouldn't see as much of a problem with the pull through if you can do it. Are you going straight in with all of your?
No, it would not be straight in. You would pull straight in, and then the units would be on each side.
I'm asking, are the units going to be on an angle anyway?
We were not planning on it because we do have the plenty of room and the space to put them.
Yeah, because I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of land. So
well. Yeah, it's a good site.
If you got a lot of land, of course, that can get going if you get the right thing there too. And that's the only thing we looked at was our layout was much better when we angled, and that's a little more of a challenge when you're building first.
I know that Baja does that when they do their carports.
Right.
You know, they angle them for get a few extra spaces in there.
Right.
You can't access those from both sides, can you?
What's...
Can you access those units from both sides, or is it the edge of the property?
14 by 50, 50s, no. It will just be one. The second building, that's kind of what we're trying to decide where exactly to put it. Yeah.
Rick, make sure you check with the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
They may have other requirements for hydrants on site, additional fire suppression on site with those enclosed units.
Okay.
It's been our experience that the fire department looks at those enclosed units, housing, gasoline and oil and vehicles as troublesome.
Yep.
And they want easier access sometimes from both sides in order to put out possible fires.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Oh, one thing. I have 7 or 8 copies of this book that I cannot take back on the plane. Southwest informed me I could take them out here. I can't bring them back. So, and if more people want them than I have, I'd just get your name and mailing address, and I'll send you one. So, anyway, thank you.
Hey, gang. Wait, 3 things before you leave. First, don't forget to follow the Soft Storage Podcast and turn on your notification so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram. And don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit follow on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us.